Christina and Meredith make a run for it. Callie has Han seeing leaves, and Dr. Owen Hunt returns from the after. We'll have all that and more in the official Grey's Anatomy podcast. Hello, everyone, and welcome back. Executive producers Shonda Rhimes and Betsy Beers are here to describe life during wartime, which apparently includes a feisty debate on the merits of mac and cheese. The ladies also hint at a few things that make them really happy in the next episode, Rise Up, which airs Thursday, November 6th at 9 p.m. on ABC. Here now are Shonda and Betsy.
Hi. This is Shonda.
This is Betsy. And this is Grey's Anatomy. Hey, you know, by now, we all know what we want to start with here, which is vote.
Oh, yeah, vote.
You got to vote. We only have a few more days to vote.
If you don't live in the United States of America and you're somehow listening to our podcast and you wish we'd stop talking about voting, we will when the election's over next week. But I also encourage you to vote in your own country when the time comes.
It's true. If you can vote. In your own country, because there are some places where people don't vote.
And if you can't, take to the streets.
But also, by the way, I'd be really surprised if you got this podcast someplace you couldn't vote, more likely than not. I don't know.
So, I hope that most of you can vote.
We do, too.
Because and if you can't vote, I hope that you have benevolent leaders. Mostly, we're just saying vote.
I think we're going to continue to say vote. And don't forget, cute guys vote.
Really cute girls vote. Yeah, the cute people vote.
Sometimes you meet
people.
That's
how you know you're cute, because you voted.
Because you voted. So I think, good, we did our personal public service announcement.
Vote.
Because that's how we feel, vote. And we're here to talk about the episode that I believe you folks just saw, which is called Life During Wartime.
Yes, Life During Wartime.
Which is, first of all, I think one of the most amazing things about this episode is the work that was done in creating the pigs. Because I think the Burmans and the people involved
did an amazing job.
Did an amazing job creating the pigs.
Building these incredibly lifelike, realistic looking animatronic pigs.
Which was an amazing thing to watch. And the first time I saw them, I was amazed. I mean, I thought they were real.
It was just a feat of science. It was very good.
It was really, really incredible. And so real props and a shout out to them, because I think it's just an incredible thing sometimes that the amazing work that these folks can do.
We asked them to do crazy, crazy, crazy stuff, and they always managed to deliver every time. So we were especially impressed with the pigs.
Absolutely. And I think it's, I mean, this episode, there's so much in this episode that I love, that it's crazy. I mean, first of all, I think probably Owen Hunt is maybe the most...
We love Owen Hunt over here.
...troubled, interesting, brooding, fabulous, hot man ever. Right?
Yeah, you can't really get around it.
He's pretty spectacular. It's just a fact. And, you know, this is a guy who, in terms of life experience, has had the most incredible things happen to him, the most incredible experiences in comparison with, in some ways, the slightly...
More frivolous,
slightly more narcissistic, sometimes, doctors
that
we love for themselves, who are fabulous doctors, but there's this
amazing... This is not just, like, our doctors face life and death every day. Owen Hunt's lived life and death. So to me, he just feels like he's coming from a very different place, which I think is awesome.
Which is absolutely incredible. But I also really, one of the things I love about him is that he's not arrogant. He's a soldier. You know, he's somebody who's both taken orders and given orders.
Yes.
So when he's accosted by Derek and McSteamy, and they're basically saying, how could you do this? How could you do this? How could you do this? His response isn't to go, why don't you guys go take a flying jump off a, see, this is, I'm not allowed to say certain words, so I had to say certain words not. He says, it's my first day.
This is day one.
Please tell me how could I've done a better job? Which, by the way, totally screws those two up. Because they're expecting a big old man fight.
And cements his adorableness.
It's true. Yeah. Really, it pretty much makes it concrete.
Kevin McKidd, who plays Owen Hunt, and I had long discussions about the Owen Hunt that you're meeting in this episode versus the Owen Hunt that you meet in the first episode of the season. Because between then and now, which is, you know, what he talks about when he talks about the before and the after, between then and now, he has gone back to the front, gone back to Iraq, and experienced kind of a really incredible traumatic event, which is that he was in this platoon where 19 of the guys died and he was the only one who lived. So we talked a lot about what the difference between those two guys were before we even shot the first episode. And so I thought he did a really great job of sort of portraying the difference, which is fairly subtle, but also extremely painful.
And I think as we go with a character, you know, as the character progresses too, and you get to know him a little bit better as
he's
well
tortured
as
and sexy and strong.
There's a lot of turnpike to drive down here, which is tremendous. I also just think the chemistry with Christina is ridiculously palpable.
you sort of can't get enough of that.
Just makes me crazy.
Yeah, you can't get enough of that.
Just makes me crazy. And man, like, by the way, what a downer. Like, you have this amazingly cool encounter with this guy and he doesn't even seem to really remember you.
But my favorite moment is when she sees him, in the whole episode is when she sees him and turns to Meredith and says, run. Which is totally based on this. It's based on this thing that happened with a friend of mine. We were walking through a mall and she turned to me and said, run. And I had no idea why we were running, no idea what was going on, but I took off running. And we ran and we ran and we ran. And when we stopped, I said, what are we running from? And she's like, your ex-boyfriend was right there. And it was kind of awesome because it was that idea that you know somebody so well that if they turn to you and say run, you run without question. And I love that Meredith just runs without question.
That's absolutely true. That's a sign of friendship. I think that's a really, really, really
good... If it had been, you know, George or Izzy, they would have taken time to stand around and go, why are we running? What are we running from?
We really shouldn't run.
Yeah. Can you explain the running? But Meredith runs without asking a single question because she trusts and she's a good soldier.
She runs and she keeps guard.
Yeah, she's a good soldier,
which is great. She looks
around
to make sure that nothing's going on and that everything's safe and it's going to be fine. Yeah. So I think that that's, you know, I got to say, our actors running just on a general basis makes me laugh.
But it was hilarious, and shooting it was hilarious. And they run forever, which is even more hilarious because they run down, like, the longest hospital we've got in the hallway.
Meredith, the whole idea of the diaries.
Well, first we have to talk about Anatomy Jane, which we really, really, really felt strongly about, that there should be this doll called Anatomy Jane with these removable parts and the optional pieces to simulate pregnancy that we just loved. And the diaries and Anatomy Jane are all sort of part of this raising of her mother from the dead, in a way, if you will. Because for Richard, you know, seeing the doll brings back all these memories of her.
Mm-hmm.
And for Meredith, these diaries are going to represent, I mean, I'm not going to tell you exactly what they're going to represent, but they're going to represent something fairly important as you watch the growth and the progression of the stories.
At the very least, it's a chance to get to know your dead mother on some level. In terms of, at the very least, it's
a chance
access
to know
to
a woman
you never
got to know. And you never had a chance to know, which I love.
And you never really, really saw her fully in her context as a doctor.
Exactly.
Which is totally, totally, totally cool. I just also think there's a burden to having a diary. You know, there's a responsibility, but there's also a weight about the entire thing.
To having information.
Exactly. And there's always a comparison. Yeah. I mean, you have your mother's diaries there, you're both surgeons, you're always going to see if you're measuring up to your mom.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, in a weird way, I think for Meredith, having tried to put the whole issue with her mother to bed and having seen her when she was hanging between life and death and a bunch of other stuff, there's a good and a bad to the diaries.
Yeah.
It's a little bit like being haunted.
There's definitely a good and a bad with the diaries.
You know, it's like very, very strange and sort of special and weird. Lexi and George. Poor Lexi, man. She just keeps bashing her head against a wall.
I know. But I love that she sort of grows up and realizes that in being angry at George, she's basically named the pig. Do you know what I mean? She's basically just named the pig. Which she shouldn't have done in the first place.
Nope.
You don't name the pig.
That's absolutely true. But, you know, in her own special way, Christina ends up naming the pigs, too.
Yes.
That's what's so great about the episode.
Exactly.
You start with the character who's least likely to actually invest in the patients. And
in a deeply metaphorical way, Owen, that's why Owen doesn't know Christina's name.
That's actually right.
Because he doesn't name the pig. Yeah.
He's trying very hard not to name the pig. And in a word, the episode's kind of about not being able to name the pig, not allowing yourself to name the pig. But that actually, to be a good doctor, you have to know the pig's name.
Yeah.
Which is where you come out at the end, where Christina goes to this amazingly emotional place of this is what ends up having to happen.
Yes.
And she accepted the name of the pig. Now, I've got a totally technical question for you. Is mac and cheese out of the box, like the difference between mac and cheese out of the box and frozen, really better?
I don't eat foods that are boxed or frozen.
That's what I thought.
Because they creep me out.
Okay, so where did
that is a purely Hammer thing. I feel like those foods are way too far from the ground and you don't know what's in them.
Mark Wilding.
Mark Wilding, he wrote the episode, and we call him the Hammer, mainly because he's the opposite of a Hammer, but also because he's really tall.
He's very tall, and he wishes he was a Hammer.
Yeah, one day he asked us to start calling him the Hammer because he really wanted a nickname, and we all made fun of him, but then it was so funny that it stuck. So now his name is the Hammer. But yeah, so Hammer. But so Hammer, the mac and cheese was purely a Hammer thing.
It's a nice detail because many people have actually commented to me that they have their own specific specifications about mac and cheese. I, of course, live with somebody who makes mac and cheese, so
Yes.
I've got the big advantage there, but I always looked at those boxes and thought they looked pretty good.
Yeah,
I know you're not big on the boxed food.
No.
Not even like frozen peas or something?
No.
It's got to be fresh right out of the ground?
It's to be fresh right out of the ground. I just don't like
things. Do you have a garden or maybe like a farm?
I don't have a farm. I do have a garden. Not that I ever do anything with it. But my point is I don't like things in boxes or frozen.
That's fine. There's no judging going on about that. So
when I make macaroni and cheese, I make it.
You make the macaroni yourself? Do you
roll I don't make the macaroni. See, now you're just being difficult.
My boyfriend makes his own pasta. So see, there you go. But you actually make it with cheese, macaroni, the whole thing, and
yes.
You do it yourself. Yeah, that's the way we do it at home.
I don't like that it comes in that little packet.
Well, I think that's just an important thing for you guys to know, that in general, we like fresh food.
The last thing that we have, which is the only thing that Hammer can't take credit for, because there's a lot of genius things that he can't take credit for, was Callie and Erica's scene in the beginning, where Callie gives the great leave speech. And I don't think Hammer will mind this, but he could not channel his inner lesbian. He tried as hard as he could. And we had long talks about it.
And I got to tell you something. Just
and so Hammer finds his feminine side on a lot of different levels.
But if you saw Hammer.
Honestly, he's like a 6'4", like, big guy.
Wears nice
guy,
little pressed shirts and
plays golf. And he's just a guy. He's a man's man.
He's a man's man.
And I think he had a really hard time channeling
the inner
spirit of a 30-something woman who discovers that she's a lesbian. And so we had a lot of talks about it. And he wrote, like a million versions of it. And finally, I was like, just give me the script. And I wrote this weird speech that really came from a story that my sister told me about my nephew. And it has nothing to do with coming out, but it literally was about the fact that he was like 10.
Uh-huh.
And she took him to the eye doctor and he got glasses and they were driving home. And he said, oh, my God. And she said, what? And he goes, the green blobs are leaves on trees. And she was like, I feel terrible. I didn't realize my child was blind all this time. But that image of that sort of felt to me what I would imagine it would be to suddenly discover
have that kind of clarity
in your 30s, yeah, that you were gay. And so I sort of used that speech. So I credit my sister, but I also credit Hammer for taking every which way pass you could at trying to have Erica have a coming out speech that made sense.
And he did like 10 passes at it.
No, he did like 20 passes
at it. Did he really?
And pitched like 20 more. And just... He just didn't understand what it was like.
Because I think it's one of the best revelation speeches ever. Because it can apply to many, many different things, but the idea that you never actually felt sexually fulfilled.
Or whole.
Or whole, your
real,
entire
you didn't
life.
Know it was missing. So I love.
It's like seeing.
Yeah, it's that thing of, I love that story because to me, it's that thing of, you never know where something in your writing is going to come from. Like I took a story that my sister told me about my nephew getting glasses, and we managed to turn that into Erica realizing who she is as a person, mixed with Hammer's sort of sense of what that scene was supposed to be in the first place. So it was just kind of amazing to have that all come together.
That's incredible. You know, it's such a different side of Erica Hahn.
Yeah, it's something we've never seen before, which feeds into how angry she is all day because of Callie's response, which
exactly.
is to flee, frankly.
Which is she goes running to Sloane.
Right into the arms of Sloane. Callie's having some panic. And I love at the end when she says, you know, I may never see leaves, I may see flowers, I may see leaves, but I may also see flowers. I may be a whole forest girl. And you realize that Callie doesn't know what she is. And she's not yet ready to define herself in any way. And things are not necessarily okay in that for Erica, which
yeah,
I think will be interesting.
I think it's really, really, really interesting.
Next week is an episode called Rise Up. There's some stuff I could tell you. It's my favorite thing ever that we're doing this season. And if I told you, though, it would ruin everything, so I cannot tell you. Suffice it to say that I have been a very happy person.
You know what?
Since this
I
thing
can honestly
started,
tell you something. She has been way happier. Like, she's a happy person anyway. It's not like she's not a happy person. She's
a bubble of joy.
She's just a big old punch bowl of fun. But the fact is that this has made you... so damn perky.
And when I'm not happy, I
can
walk over to the stages and see the stuff that's making me really happy.
The stuff that's making her really, really happy.
And get happier.
I gotta say, there's this thing, which you're gonna see next episode, which made you really happy. Then there's something coming up way down the line, which has made you so happy that it was stupid. And we'll talk more about that when we get closer, but...
But, yeah, next week's episode's... Really, it's chock full of dead, really. There's some corpses and there's a lot of
you know what I
dead
think that's a really
on.
Really really good way to put it. It's a lot of dead stuff. The thing is, next week there's something in the episode that if you don't see it, you're going to be really annoyed. because if you don't see it in real time, you're going to be really annoyed because
you know what? I would say that this is not one of those ones that you want to watch later because a lot of people are going to ruin it for you. I feel really strongly
about that because there is something in this which will get spoiled. People will ruin it for you because people will call and leave a message on your phone
and tell you what happened.
And we love that everybody watches as many ways as they can, but I got to tell you, we're going to tell you every once in a while when you don't want to be that person who feels like a total jerk because eight people just called
you. It's
going to
kind of ruin your Friday morning if you didn't see it Thursday night.
Bye. So do us a favor, after you vote, remind yourself to watch that episode live.
While voting, think about how you're going to watch this.
Exactly, and how excited you'll be. And how we won't disappoint you because we're really telling the truth.
Or in celebration of the democratic process working in whichever way it works.
So this is Blabby Betsy.
And this is Shonda.
Grey's Anatomy.
That's it for this week. Rise Up airs Thursday, November 6th at 9 p.m., followed by Life on Mars at 10 p.m., only on ABC.